message of Christmas, that God showed up in this world and he has showed up in our lives and changed us from the inside out. Now let's have a word of prayer as we get into God's word this morning. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to worship you, God. And I thank you for this Christmas season where we come together as a church and we are able to lift you up and glorify you. And thank you that this is a celebration that is recognized literally around the world. Not everyone celebrates it, but we know of your birth. And Lord, we pray that with the message you've given to us, that we would take this message and give it to those who desperately need it. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about this. What to give God for Christmas? You know, we always talk about getting things and giving gifts to one another. But have you thought about what you want to give God for Christmas? And I want to look into the Word of God and see characteristics of a man that is not talked about all that much during Christmas. And that's Jesus' not biological father, but his earthly father, Joseph, who raised this amazing young boy. And probably, like any dad, noticed that this kid was exceptional. But things started off roughly for Joseph, as you can imagine. The bottom line is this. Joseph demonstrates some key lifestyle choices that serve as an example to any believer who seeks to follow God's calling. Joseph experienced some things that are like things that we might experience in our lives. But what I love about Joseph is that he made some key decisions that sought to honor God. And I think we can do the same. As we seek to bring the message of Christmas, the message of Christ, the message of Jesus to people all around us who are groping in darkness, who don't know the amazing truth that God created them, that God uniquely gifted them, that God loved them enough to send his own son to die on the cross for us. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. We read last night from Luke chapter 1. This is another account of the birth of Christ and complements the Luke chapter very beautifully. Matthew 1:18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, and that was a legally binding marriage arrangement, right? A legally binding contract between two families. Joseph is going to marry Mary. And so before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. You can imagine the disappointment already that Joseph must have felt. Before they came together to be married, Mary was with child. She was pregnant. Well, Mary, how did that happen? And even though Mary, I'm sure, tried to explain that this was something that was divine in nature, that God had done a miracle in her life, that would have been hard for any man to accept, for any man to believe. So you can imagine the hurt that Joseph must have felt, the betrayal that Joseph must have felt, the embarrassment that he would experience, because he knew he wasn't the guy that brought about this baby. He knew he wasn't the one. So from a human perspective, he thought he had been betrayed by Mary. And the plans that they had, well, they were all falling apart. Let me keep reading. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considers these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. That's what the name Jesus means. God saves. It predicted what Jesus would do in his earthly ministry here on this earth. And all this was given to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Here's the first thing I love about Joseph, and I'd like to duplicate this in my own life. Like Joseph, we should be committed to doing right things, even when wrong things are happening all around us. Even when we feel betrayed by others, like Joseph must have felt betrayed. He didn't want to embarrass Mary. Notice what it says here. And her husband, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, a kind person, not willing to put Mary to shame. As much as Mary may have shared from her heart, this is not of a human origin. This is of divine origin. Impossible for the average man to accept that. And yet Joseph was going to do a right thing to someone that he felt had badly wronged him. And I love that about Joseph. And I think that's a challenge for all of us. You know, Christmas is really a time of love and sharing that love with people all around us. And I want to challenge all of us. There may be people that will wrong you in the future. Instead of responding in like manner, to have the love of Christ so that people can see in you something very different, that you march to the beat of a different drummer when it comes to the way you live your life. You're not like everybody else. You will not listen to people that say, that person wronged you, wrong them back. That person wronged you, get revenge. Joseph wasn't like that. Joseph was a person who did the right thing in spite of his feeling wronged and betrayed by someone he loved deeply. It's a challenge for all of us to take what we know inside of us and to allow that joy to change us. Last night as we were opening gifts, my daughter, who's 7 years old, she has a genetic issue, a genetic problem that causes her speech to be very delayed, and she's very difficult to understand. She's getting better, and when she speaks slowly, I can get most of what she says. But last night, as she's opening gifts, she opened a couple that she was really excited about, and she started blurting out. When she's excited, she starts trying to talk really quickly. And the problem is, as she's blurting out all these sounds, I don't know a word of what she's saying. I can't understand it. And I thought about it this morning as we sang about this joy unspeakable. That's what she had, right? This joy she could not put into words. It was unspeakable. And that's the kind of joy we need to have as believers. Not just when things are going our way. That's easy, right? When things are going our way, it's easy to have this unspeakable joy. But the real test of a follower of Jesus Christ is to realize that in spite of all the negative things that are happening within us, there is this reality that we have. That God lives within us. That we've been changed by the power of God. That we have eternal life. And as beautiful as this creation is, we know this is not our permanent home. We are aliens on this planet. We will never feel quite at home on this planet if we are seeking to live for Christ. And so I want to challenge all of us as folks here at Riverview to have this amazing love in your life that the world can't fully understand. To have this joy in your life that the world can't fully comprehend. To have this peace in your life that the world just does not understand. Because we are followers of Christ. And we're going to live differently than the world. And the earthly father of Jesus was like that. He was like that. You can imagine when the birth of Jesus came and they were in Bethlehem. And these shepherds came and told Joseph and Mary all these things that they had heard and seen. This is just a wonderful confirmation that the dream he had in Luke chapter 1 had truly come to pass. That this baby was a baby that would truly change the world. So probably his full realization or more confident realization of what had been told him in this dream came to pass in Bethlehem. And that's true for us as well. We may not see the immediate impact of what our lives are bringing about right away. But in time, we can look back and see how God was working through all the difficult circumstances and negative circumstances of our lives. So whatever you're going through today, God is at work. Whatever you're going through today, do right things. Whatever you're going through today, I believe at some point you'll be able to look back and maybe not fully understand, but see places in your life in which God was at work and his fingerprints were all throughout those difficult circumstances that you had. Here's the second thing I want to challenge us with. It's like this. Like Joseph, we should surrender the controls of our lives to God. Like Joseph, surrender the control of your life to God. See, when he woke from his dream, the Bible says in verse 24, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Now, it didn't make it any easier just because the Lord told him to take Mary as his wife. He still would face the embarrassment. There's still the indication in the New Testament that Jesus was looked upon as an illegitimate child, the so-called child of Joseph. That he was an illegitimate child. Joseph would still bear that stigma for the rest of his life. People looking at Mary and him, thinking, we remember what happened. Hey, Mary, you had a baby outside of marriage, and it wasn't from Joseph. But he did as the Lord commanded him. He did what God said. And there are times when we need to do the same. You know, you probably are aware of the story or the analogy of a pilot. If a pilot's in a storm, they keep telling this pilot, even though you may, in your physical senses, think you're flying a certain direction, always keep your eye on the instrument panel. Follow the instrument panel, because sometimes your own senses will deceive you. And there have been pilots that have lost their lives because they've taken their eyes off the instrument panel that's in front of them. And we have this amazing instrument panel. Please do not allow anyone to diminish the power and the truthfulness of the Word of God in your life. Surrender the controls of your life to God. Surrender the controls of every decision of your life to God, because Jesus Christ came as God in flesh. And if that is true, which it is, then His words have authority. His words have meaning. His words ought to give us the exact path in which we should walk. Jesus truly was awesome. We can't fully understand this little baby in Bethlehem that was fully God and fully human. Sometimes people misunderstand this deity of Christ. They think Jesus was 50% God and 50% man. That's not true. That's not what the Bible describes Jesus as. Not half and half. Not at all. But somehow God brought together in this one little baby, someone who was 100% man and also 100% God. And His words give us the plan for our lives. And if anyone on this planet ever contradicts this person, Jesus, we know right away that there's the filter of God's word in front of us that says, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to believe that. Because I surrender the controls of my life to God. That means sometimes doing difficult things. That means sometimes forgiving people that wrong you when you don't feel like it. That means sometimes loving people when you don't feel like it. That means sometimes giving up what you desire so that you can fulfill what God desires in your life. And you know, when you do that, it's amazing. I found this to be true in my life. That your life is more fulfilled, that you get much more out of that than the people that you're serving, that you find this purpose and meaning, and you realize this is why God gave me these gifts and abilities for something like this, a ministry like that, an event like that, an interaction like the one I just had with someone who does not know Christ. Because in Jesus, we have found this amazing, amazing person that has changed the world. Here's another thing I want you to remember about Joseph. Like Joseph, we should stay on track in tough times. To stay on track. It's okay to say, I'm going to follow God now, but when things start getting difficult, sometimes people give up, they quit. They don't stay on track. They start to lose their focus, but we don't see that in the life of Joseph. In fact, what we see is a man who was faithful in raising this son, this amazing son. And he would have other kids as well. Can you imagine being a sibling of Jesus, right? How tough that would be. How tempting it must have been for Joseph to say, could you be like your older brother Jesus? But we know this, that there's no indication anywhere in God's word that Joseph ever lost sight of what he was called to do. And I think that's an amazing reality. You know, even Jesus beginning his earthly ministry at the age of 30, most scholars believe that was because Jewish tradition held that a son would help his father in his trade. Joseph was a carpenter, right? Jesus helped his father for 30 years of his life being a carpenter in Nazareth. But Jewish tradition would state that you would do that until your father died. Then you were free to do something else. You were free to follow another dream if that was your dream. And it was at the age of 30 that we find Jesus beginning his public ministry. Most scholars believing that Jesus' father, Joseph, died when Jesus was 30 years old. But a man who stayed on track for those 30 years of Jesus' life. And there are some dangers to avoid if we are seeking to follow God. Let me give you some of them. Dangers to avoid are entitlement. Having this feeling like, God, you owe me more. God, there are other Christians around me that seem to have more than I do, that seem to have it better off than I do, that don't have the struggles that I do. And we have this feeling of entitlement. God, I deserve better. When in reality, God is shaping us and molding us through the very circumstances and challenges that we face. Here's another danger to avoid. It's exhaustion. Sometimes people can get exhausted in their lives. Christmas is a season when you can feel so tired because there's so much going on. There's so much that has to be done. And in this time when we're to focus on Jesus, we often feel so exhausted physically. And as you know, the Bible says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives in your body. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Take care of your physical condition. And so often we feel exhausted in our walk with the Lord because physically we're so exhausted. We're so tired. We're doing so much. And sometimes so much of that busyness has nothing to do with the Lord's work. But believe me, there are people that can be exhausted doing the Lord's work. And I think of Martha, right, in that situation in her home. She was feeding the Lord and Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus and what Jesus had to say. But Martha, the Bible says, was so distracted by all her preparations. Distracted by doing things for the Lord. And she comes in and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all alone to do these things? And I love the response of Jesus. It says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things. Isn't that a great description of American culture? We are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, Jesus said. And Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. I love the fact that she chose the better part, right? And I think that's the task of my life as a pastor and for your life as well. That we look at our lives and there may be good things that are crowding our schedule, but they're not the better things. There may be good things that we can say, you know what, there's no verse in the Bible that says I can't do this thing. And even though it's making me really, really busy and keeping me from doing what God wants me to do, I need to realize that God wants me to do the better things. The better things. So look in your life. If you're feeling exhausted today, that's holding you back from a true ability to serve the Lord in a way that he intended. Here's another danger to avoid. Excesses. Getting into something too much. Being involved in this thing too deeply, too intensely. It's becoming this habit that's keeping you away from serving the Lord. It's keeping us from being on track for God. We're out of balance. And that could be true of any one of us today. Are you out of balance today? Are you too much into this thing and allowing very important things to suffer because of it? And here's another danger to avoid. As you've been hearing me speak, to give excuses. Well, Mel, that's good for you, but that's not my situation. And I'm just going to do this for a little longer. I know I'm out of balance. I know that I'm doing these things that are keeping me from experiencing God's best in my life. But I'm going to just do this a little bit longer and it's okay for me. See, that's giving excuses. Or in other areas of our lives, excuses why we don't forgive. Excuses why we don't love. Excuses why we don't pour ourselves into our family or our relationships with the love of Christ like we should. And we allow other things to distract us. I want to challenge us all today, including me. No more excuses. We're approaching a new year. This is our last Sunday in 2016. That this week you'd be praying about, how in my life can I allow Jesus to have more control of my life? How in my life can I glorify Jesus better than I did in 2016? As I begin 2017, how can I get into the Word of God better than I had in 2016? How can I do that better? When I think about the Word of God, I remember being in a chapel in college and hearing the speaker speak. And he asked this simple question. Because when you're studying God's word, and I had the blessing of going to a college where I could study as my major the Bible, because I wanted to be a pastor. I felt God had called me to do that. And he asked a simple question, and it really convicted me. I'll never forget it. He said, when was the last time you read the Bible for the sheer enjoyment of it? And I've been reading it a lot for assignments. I've been doing papers on it. I've been taking apart passages for papers that I was doing in these classes. But when he said it, I was like, he's right. When was the last time I read it for the sheer enjoyment of it? And that question has been sticking with me all these years. And I want to ask you that same question. When was the last time you got in the Word of God for the sheer enjoyment of it? Now, don't jump into Deuteronomy. That's going to get tough to be getting enjoyment out of that. That's a tough book. But to jump into the Gospels and read about the life of Christ, to jump into some of Paul's letters and to see the practical ways in which Paul tells us to live out our faith is really powerful. And here's the last thing I want you to remember. Like Joseph, we should be content with our God-given mission. You know, as a church, we have a mission. We don't have to reinvent it. People come to me and say, well, what's the mission of Riverview Church? It's what God said. To go into all the world and make disciples. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot improve on that mission. That's why on your bulletins today, we have that theme, a passion for loving God and others. It comes from the two great commandments. That's our mission. But then individually, God has called you to do different things. That you would know that whatever you're involved in today, wherever you're working today, if you are a person that's employed by someone else, that this is my mission. God has placed me here for a reason. If you're in a neighborhood with unbelievers around you, God has placed you there for a reason. You might say, well, I'm the only Christian in my neighborhood. God has entrusted that entire neighborhood to you. You're to be that light in that place. That we would be content with our God-given mission. Joseph was. Here was a heart that was obedient to what God had called him to do. He was part of the greatest event in human history. And we may not fully understand the impact that our lives will make. But as you join into God's work, as you are content with the mission that God has given us, you need to understand that what you do for God is far greater than anything we could ever do in our own strength or whatever our own plan is. But that we would give our lives fully to him and be content and excited about this mission that God has given to us. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts in prayer this morning. And as your hearts are bowed, may this Christmas be a Christmas in which you say, Lord, I want to get deeper with you. I want to be stronger with you. I want to be like Joseph. I want to stay on track. I want to keep my eyes on you. I want to focus on what your calling is for my life. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your heart. He does that. Allow him to convict you of things that are keeping you from experiencing God's best, the better things in your life. To look at your schedule and see things that can be taken out so that you can focus more on God in your life. Lord, thank you that you stayed focused on what you came to do, that you came as the Lamb of God. And for the joy set before you, you endured the cross for us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we look at what is set before us, the mission that we've been given as a church and as individuals, help us, Lord, to enter 2017 with a desire to be a light for you and to live for you and to use our gifts and abilities in ways that only you can empower to make an eternal impact in the lives of others. Lord, thank you for this church, for faithfully bringing us through another year. Thank you for 2016, God. We pray that 2017 would be a year in which we would trust you more and see you do even more powerful things in the lives of folks all around us and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, as we close today, let's all stand together. We're going to sing that chorus. We sang it last night, but I love it. Oh, come. Let us adore him, okay, as our closing chorus. Let's all join in together. You're my choir, and let's sing it.